Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Apologies. I said Caitlin Collins was the athlete of the year over at Time Magazine. It was Caitlin Clark. Two completely different people. Boy, that young lady is amazing. She set the she put the WNBA on the map this year. She was the only reason that people were showing up to those games. There you go. So somebody who I'm sure is all about the WNBA is Rachel Madcow. Rachel Madcow, rabid. Now, this is a woman. And folks, I don't understand this. I really don't. She makes $25 million a year. And she's on the air 1 hour a week. How do you do that? And exactly right. She's not getting ratings. She doesn't have a tremendous amount of sponsors. She gets $25 million. Now, they broke the bad news that she might have to take a salary cut of $5 million. So that's going to leave her with a paltry $20 million a year to work 1 hour a week. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand that. Well, Rachel Maddow did her absolute best. Her level best, because you know she hates Trump, period. She hates Trump. Remember the one Rachel Maddow show where she said she had gotten Donald Trump's tax returns? And she teased it the whole night. She started the show with, we're going to bring you, he's got his tax returns. We're pouring over these tax returns. And then she'd go on to another subject. And before they'd go to commercial breaks, we got the tax returns. And we're going to, and we're scouring these things. And then they went to a commercial break. And then finally, in the very last segment, she finally had to admit something because she illegally got Donald Trump's tax returns. And she had to admit that Donald Trump paid his taxes. Y'all remember that? And it was just, you could just see she had so much hope, so much hope. So now Rachel Maddow is trying her best to link Donald Trump with Luigi Mangione. Yeah, she actually tried to do that. Let's take a quick listen.
This young man arrested today. He has not been charged with the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. We don't yet know if he will be charged with that killing. But if it is him, the fact that he's a professed Unabomber fan is unsettling. I might venture that it's even more unsettling that Donald Trump's reported choice to run the ATF is also a self-professed fan of the Unabomber.
There you go. Boy, I really regret voting for him now. Can I get my vote back? Did somebody, Rachel Maddow just pointed something out that I didn't know about. Give me a break. Give me a break. This woman, all of them have lost their ever-loving minds. But this crap right there is why they are tanking. That's why nobody is watching. Now, there was a big thing, and I'll be honest with you, I don't understand a whole lot about what's going on over at Fox News with Rupert Murdoch and this whole probate thing that they got going on with the family and the trust and yada, 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 and blah, 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 and who's going to take over Fox News upon Rupert Murdoch's passing. But if they want to make money, if they want to continue to be successful, not only will they continue to be conservative, but they should be more conservative. They should be more conservative. First thing I'd do is get rid of Bret Baier. That would be number one. We all know he's wishy-washy at best. Maybe even Martha McCallum. She kind of seems to be that way at times, too. They should be more conservative over on Fox News. But I guess they just don't like to be criticized by the left. Who cares what they say? It doesn't matter. We are finding out the more conservative you are, the more people like you. That's just the truth, especially today, because we've seen, we just went through 4 years of Joe Biden. We've gone through almost a decade of the lies about Trump. It started before he was even president. All of that went back to that Podesta email going to Hillary Clinton that was leaked to WikiLeaks. And that was released by WikiLeaks, and everybody could read the emails from Panetta saying, Russia, 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 that's where you got to go with this thing. Paraphrasing there, but that was the message from Podesta to Hillary. Got to keep hammering on Russia when they knew it was all a lie. With all of those intelligence agents, and the whole time the FBI knew about it. The whole time, Jim Comey knew that it was a bunch of BS. And ultimately, Christopher Wray did too. Now, to Christopher Wray, who, by the way, has stepped down as the head of the FBI, good. No tears lost there. Well, when you get, here's the thing, though. When you get people like John Brennan, who is disappointed that Christopher Wray resigned, that should tell you something.
Director Brennan, I start with you. Leaving at the end of a current president's term is the opposite of what the 10-year service window is about. And we've covered the cross pressures on the FBI, but I wonder what it is like for the workforce to see their leader leave.
I think it's going to be very difficult, and I'm very disappointed that Director Wray decided to resign. I think Director Wray has carried out his responsibilities with integrity, professionalism, during very difficult and challenging times over the last 7 years. And he was appointed to a 10-year term, and he accepted a 10-year term. And right now, his decision to leave tends to legitimize what Donald Trump is doing in
And yes, it does. Thank you very much, John Brennan. That's probably the only truthful thing you've ever said. This is a guy that ran for office, by the way, as a communist. And he's the director of a former intelligence official. Really? A guy that lied to the American people, spied on the American people, told Congress that the intelligence community was not spying on the American people. One of the people that signed off on that letter saying that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Let me tell you what should happen. Him and all of those people that signed off on that letter should lose their security clearance. There is no reason for this man to have a security clearance. Him, Clapper, all of those people should have it stripped away. We'll be right back. It's the Charlie James Show, News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. Welcome back to the program. Well, Christopher Wray has resigned from the FBI. Yay! We love that. That's a very good thing. That is very good because President Trump has announced that he is picking Kash Patel to come in and lead the FBI. And you know what? This is a guy I thought, I really did, I thought Kash Patel would get more pushback from the Democrats than he's gotten. But it looks like everybody, even the people in the intelligence community are saying, yeah, this is a good pick. It's a very good pick for Trump with Kash Patel to head the FBI. One of the people that is really, and I kind of wish, I definitely wish that Matt Gaetz had stayed in the game. I really do. Because I think everybody would have forgotten about Matt Gaetz, which, by the way, Matt Gaetz is now going to have his own show over at One America News Network. He's going to be heading their primetime lineup over there. That's going to be fun to watch. But I think he should have stayed in the game because I think they would have forgotten about him eventually. Because now they're all, you know, clutching their pearls over the other picks like Tulsi Gabbard as the director of national intelligence. I think she's a good pick for that. I think she's a great pick. And of course, they've all been against Pete Hegseth now as the Secretary of Defense. Now, several senators, but we're going to have to see how they behave, like Joni Ernst and Lindsey Graham. Joni Ernst was saying it was a hard no for Pete Hegseth. Now she's kind of warmed up to the idea, and it sounds like she is endorsing him. We don't know if that's the truth. But we also know that Lindsey Graham has absolutely kind of softened his tone about him as well. And for that, we have to thank you, the American people, because you have been the folks that have been out there blowing the phones up of these folks, telling them to support Pete Hegseth to be the Secretary of Defense. Is he qualified? Absolutely. He's a combat veteran. Decorated combat veteran. I mean, heck, even Geraldo Rivera is endorsing Pete Hegseth for the Secretary of Defense.
I know Pete, Major Pete, I call him pretty well, being on Fox and Friends weekend for those many years, sitting on the couch with him, sharing the couch, been out with him. I thought, as Scott mentions, that he was on the ropes. For a lot of this stuff coming up that none of us had ever heard of before because of non-disclosures and so forth. But then Pete did something. Major Pete did something that I think is the difference between a combat veteran and the rest of the world. What Pete did was go to his combat brothers, and it was they who started speaking on his behalf, saying, talking about his courage. Talking about how he earned those two Bronze Stars, how he never allowed his men to get in front of him in a hot zone. And I think that's what the Defense Department needs. That's what the Pentagon needs. And I think that realization swept subtly, but I think with growing momentum through Washington, D.C., that if you haven't served the country in combat, then shut up. Well, you know, you better respect.
I mean,
I was shocked. But again, all of those allegations again, Pete Hegseth. So, but there was one allegation that he used to show up on the set over at Fox News so drunk that the staff was concerned about him. Now, these were anonymous sources, which absolutely turned out to be BS because all the people that actually worked with him were like, I have no idea what you're talking about. No idea whatsoever. So that's good news. Senator Rick Scott says absolutely a yes for Pete Hegseth.
Well, first off, we're going to get Trump's nominees confirmed, right? And, you know, if we have to do recess appointments, I think we'll figure out how to do that. But I think look at his nominees. I mean, Marco Rubio, Pam Bondi from Florida, Mike Waltz, who doesn't have to be confirmed, is going to be National Security Advisor. Susie Wiles from Florida, who's the chief of staff. Wonderful people. You look at Pete Hegseth. Here's a guy that's a combat veteran. He knows the risk of sending troops into battle. He's led troops in battle.
Yeah, I fingers crossed that he is going to be confirmed. Let's go to Chuck in Mills River. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. If I were any better, I'd be a Charlie.
Oh, there you go. What's up, man? What's up?
Well, I did want to say, I know what those the drones are not
Yeah.
They're not flying over Western North Carolina because we got our rifles sighted in. And
yeah,
if we saw
right.
one, we'd try to take it down.
There you go.
But you mentioned Anchor Baptist. And, man, big shout-out to those people. They in 2 weeks, they were way more prepared
yeah.
for what we were going through than the federal government with all their skillions of dollars, man. They had,
yeah.
they gave us boxes with, like, I mean, things that you don't think of, like washcloths, toothpaste, Benadryl, paper
yeah.
towels, just you name it. And they had so many people helping. The children were, I mean, little kids packing boxes and handing them to you, teaching the kids. I mean, they weren't just doing a good thing. They were teaching kids responsibility,
right.
teaching them that this is a community. And, you know, here we got GovCo ready to pull out.
Yeah.
And they're telling
they
people,
are.
Well, you can't live in your own property. It's sickening and it's disgusting. And send some of them drones over here. We need to target practice. We're sighted in for deer season, buddy.
There you go. I appreciate it, Chuck. Thank you. Somebody on Twitter said, Charlie, I just, this was, they replied to me. Charlie, I just left West Asheville. FEMA is rolling up camp. Churches and charities are doing the heavy lifting. On a side note, is a tent and a sleeping bag in North Carolina code compliant? This is a national disaster, not a developer trying to build a subdivision. You're exactly right, Stay Frosty 76. I appreciate your comment there. When we get back, the head of the United States Post Office did something in a hearing I've never seen a grown person do. This is going to blow your mind. It's the Charlie James Show, News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. And welcome back to the program. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday evening. Let's go to the WORD talk line, 800-950-989. We'll talk to Ed. He's up in Brevard. How you doing, Ed?
Doing well, Charlie. Hope you are. Thank you.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to add a couple of things to what you've been saying about Anchor Baptist Church and yeah. Randy Barton. I have family members that attend there, and that is a fantastic church, just not only in people's times of need, such as the floods. They are so giving and have been for over 40 years now, not only to this community, but they have outreach worldwide with their ministry work that they go out and they fly to places that people don't even know exist and take things to families and children there that are in less than impoverished conditions.
Yeah.
They also have a warehouse in which they give out freely daily to anyone who needs anything without question. And Randy is a very selfless man, and so is his congregation. And I'm glad that they're finally getting some recognition.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. I appreciate it, Ed. Thank you. But they're the ones that have been doing, I mean, they have literally been doing, and it's not just Anchor Baptist Church. It's talking about a lot of organizations, the Redneck Air Force, the Cajun Navy, the Mule Packers, all of these people that have been doing such incredible work up in Western North Carolina. You compare that. See, they were helping. They're the people that were doing the helping. FEMA was doing the hurting. FEMA was the ones that came in and declared all of this a flood zone because of what? They had two floods in 100 years. So therefore, you can't get, look, I will guarantee you that once the dust is settled, all of a sudden FEMA is going to come in, they're going to redraw those maps. And they're going to say, oh, look, oh, these home sites are no longer in the flood zone. Well, I guess since we own them now, we can sell them to developers. You watch, that's going to happen. Maybe not under the Trump administration. Maybe that's not going to happen under the Trump administration. That might be the saving grace for Western North Carolina. But thank you so much, Randy Barton, all those people out there at Anchor Baptist Church. And by the way, Brevard, one of my favorite places ever. We stayed, Sheila and I rented, and I wish I could remember the name of the cabin. I think it was called like Big Bear Cabin or something like that. Something with a bear in it. Up in Brevard. And it was one of the best weekends we ever had. It was before we had Sophie. We took Artie up there. Just had such a great time. And that was when I saw my first, because when we got there, on the little, there was kind of like a bookshelf, and it had some tchotchkes on it. And on the bookshelf was a white ceramic squirrel. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, I didn't think a whole lot about it. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. But it had a card on it, and I read about the legend of the white squirrel. Now, if you don't know about the white squirrels in Brevard, do you know about this, Will? Do you have any idea what the white squirrel? Okay. These are not albino squirrels. They are not albinos. And so these are actually white squirrels.
See,
and the they come from a guy that owned a small circus. And he had these white squirrels as an attraction. So when he decided to give up the circus life or whatever happened, he passed. I don't know what happened to him, but he released these squirrels in Brevard, and they have bred and they have multiplied. And every now and again, you will see these white squirrels. Well, I saw a white squirrel the first. In fact, I will say this. Every time I've been to Brevard, I've seen a white squirrel. The last time I was up there with a group of men. We were on a golf trip, and there was a white squirrel on the golf course. And I was like, hey, look, it's a white squirrel. And they were like, okay. It's like, you guys don't understand. That is not an albino. That is a very rare animal that you're looking at right now. They didn't get it.
Now, are squirrels migratory, Charlie? Do you know this?
No, they pretty much stay in their area.
So I wonder if somebody had brought, because when I lived in Duncan,
yeah,
I had a huge yard, you know, as my roommate's yard, but had a huge yard, had this little white squirrel that I was so fascinated with. You know, I was just like, oh, that's the coolest thing. I've never seen a white squirrel before.
Yeah.
I chalked it up to, hey, it's got to be an albino squirrel.
Now, it may have been.
I was going to, but see now.
That would depend. You would have to actually be close enough to see its eyes to see if the eyes were red.
That's what I was going
to
say, is because I'm guessing the albino is still going to have that red kind of tint to the eyes. Yeah.
Exactly. But these aren't albino squirrels. These are a very rare breed of squirrels in Brevard. And it's, I mean, they're just fascinating. And the legend goes that if you see one, you got good luck. How about that? Charlie had two white squirrels in my backyard this summer right here in Greer. There you go. Charlie, born and raised in Brevard. Isn't it great? I love Brevard. There you go. Charlie, there's a group of white squirrels in Anderson as well. I did not know that. How about that? Maybe they do migrate a little bit.
Or somebody took some from Brevard and decided to deposit them.
Or somebody caught them and did. I would hate for that to happen. Okay, now listen. You would like to think that the people that we have in our government agencies are adults, wouldn't you? You would like to think that. You would like to think we got grown-ups in there. But apparently not. Apparently not. There was a hearing about the United States Postal Service, because we have found out recently that the United States Postal Service just reported a 9.5 billion dollar loss in fiscal year 2024. The United States Postal Service lost $9.5 billion. Since 2007, the United States Postal Service has lost $100 billion. $100 billion. And according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is what happens when government-run entities are bloated, mismanaged, and unaccountable. It is time to demand real reform and stop wasting taxpayer dollars. Government efficiency is coming to Washington with DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, under Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. So the head of the Postal Service, the United States Postmaster General, was in a hearing the other day with Representative McCormick. Listen to this exchange. Listen to this. Here we go. Oh, by the way, the Postmaster General was asked to give himself a grade, and he gave himself a grade of A.
You, sir, do not get an A grade. You cannot give yourself that grade.
I just did.
You can't.
You can't grade
your own paper, sir. I've been to medical school. I got my MBA. You can't. I'm sorry. You are graded by the United States people. and they don't use your service anymore. You bankrupt.
That is not true.
You
that
bankrupt this true, through sir. Your
my
reputation only.
Growing.
Through your
my
reputation, you are responsible for the fall of the Postal Service
now,
and the lack
Congress,
of accountability.
Congress is responsible for the fall of the Postal
so it's
Service. I am trying to fix
on
the
your
Postal
watch,
Service.
With all the AI.
Before my watch, the same stuff
with
happened.
With all
worse.
The AI, with all the computer systems, you're worse than right. if I took
you're
a horse
to yourself,
and picked up the mail and delivered it 2 miles down the road. That's you. I hope you got that on camera. This is the response that the postmaster just gave Congress when he doesn't like what he hears. Literally covered his ears and gave himself the grade of A.
He put his hands over his ears like a five-year-old child. This is the Postmaster General of the United States covering his ears like a five-year-old child. That's another one that's got to go. We'll be right back. It's the Charlie James Show. News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
Oh, my goodness. This is absolutely hilarious. I just got a text message on my phone. I'm pretty sure they just sent it out. All right. This is what I just read on my phone. You may have recently received a text message or an email from a group making false claims about the members of the South Carolina House Republican Caucus. The group that sent these messages, which also funds the South Carolina Freedom Caucus, is a San Francisco-based fringe organization whose agenda is to infiltrate every state and bring chaos and dysfunction to common sense conservative Republican principles. Your state representative, Bill Chumley, is a member of the South Carolina Freedom Caucus, which is co-founded by State Representative R.J. May, who is under federal investigation. The fact is, Republican Speaker Merle Smith is a conservative leader in our state and was endorsed by President Trump. Don't believe their lies or fall for their rhetoric about our good Republican representatives and their real conservative agenda. To which I responded, who is this? Chris Slick? Merle Smith is a rhino. Stop with your dark money BS. The response that I got was, you have been unsubscribed. Thank you. That was the intention. Now Merle Smith is a rhino through and through. This is a Planned Parenthood loving rhino in Columbia, South Carolina. And anybody that is on, and I'm throwing it out there. Anybody that is a member of the Republican caucus in Columbia, I look down on you. And everybody should. You should look down on bullies. You should look down on people that want loyalty oaths, where you can't campaign against an incumbent that's a member of the Republican caucus. You should look down on those people. You should look down on those people who want to continue to fund Planned Parenthood. You should look down on the people that want to put radical Democrats in chairmanships in Columbia, where the Republicans have a supermajority in the House, a supermajority in the Senate, and control the governor's mansion. You should look down on those people. You should look down on people that want to marginalize actual conservatives. You should do that. And anybody that is joined, and listen, all you members of the Family Caucus, I'm looking at you too. Looking at you too. In fact, John McCravey just stepped down from his chairmanship on a subcommittee in the judiciary because of the bills that were coming out of that committee. The time for those people to go is long past. We need to make sure that we have got a state legislature that is full of hardcore Republican conservatives who abide by and subscribe to the South Carolina Republican Party platform. Donald Trump doesn't know Merle Smith. He might have endorsed him, but he doesn't know anything about him.
Merle Smith, I mean, all you got to do, Merle Smith bragged the other day that we spent over $9 billion for 14,000 jobs here in South Carolina. That's $650,000 per job. We have one of the most purple state legislatures in the entire Southeast. We have got to make sure these guys get out of there. They've got to go. 100%. Cannot believe that. My wife just sent me a text. She said, I just got the same text. So all of this dark money, and let me tell you, and Luke Rankin, I want to give a little advice to you, young man. It's a little advice to you. If Chris Slick supports your post on Facebook, you really need to reexamine yourself. If Chris Slick and Merle Smith support you, you are literally hanging out with the wrong crowd. These are the people that funded, and everybody knows this, I mean, and I can't say for sure, but the common thought is that these people were behind all of those dark money mailers that went out against members of the Freedom Caucus. Because why? Because they don't want actual conservatives. I'll tell you what the Freedom Caucus members wouldn't have done. They wouldn't have appointed radical Democrats to chairmanships. That they wouldn't have done. I guarantee it. It's the Charlie James Show. News Talk 98.9 WRD, the voice of the Carolinas.